Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Wiest and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining us. Today, we are discussing demons, real or imagined. You know, there are some who do not believe in a demonic realm, and they think it's all in a person's mind, or perhaps just a fable. Well, God himself even describes Lucifer, who became Satan, in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. Now, the scripture uses the terms fallen angels, evil spirits, wicked spirits, snake, serpent, dragon, and the devil.
You know, Bill, in today's society, there are some evil people who commit such cruel and wicked acts that there must be demons influencing their behavior.
That's right.
You know, even the riots, the destroying of property and today and with the harming and killing of innocent people, those things are demonically inspired.
Absolutely.
You know, it reminds me of the Apostle Paul, what he faced when he'd go into different cities and he'd preach and teach the word of God. Then a mob spirit would come after him. So
right.
Demons were inciting the mob to try to kill him and stone him and
That's
stop
right.
the gospel from going out.
That's right. The crowd would harass him everywhere he went because of the demons that influenced those people.
Yes. You know, in the Bible, we know that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit all acknowledge demons are real.
That's right.
God acknowledged it in 1 Kings 22:21. It said mm-hmm. there was an evil spirit that came before God.
Right.
Jesus acknowledged Satan in Luke 4:5-12. It was Satan himself that tried to tempt Jesus three times in the wilderness. And the Holy Spirit obviously believes in devils because Jesus said in Matthew 12:26, and if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God.
That's right. And we're going to look at many scriptures here that will mention demons and Jesus dealing with them. But I just want to share something. You know, I saw demons in the vision God gave me that I wrote about in my book, 23 Minutes in Hell. And they were the most hideous, disgusting-looking creatures. This prison cell that I was first placed in, there were two demons. They were reptilish in appearance, bumps and scales all over the one's body, huge jaw, sunken in eyes, claws about a foot long. And these particular two are about 12 or 13 feet tall. There's scripture even indicate that, Genesis 6:4, Deuteronomy 3:11, and some others. But they were pacing in the cell like a vicious, caged animal. They had the most ferocious demeanor, and they were grotesque to look at, all twisted and deformed. And they had an extreme hatred for God and for man. I saw other demons that were only 2 and 3 feet tall. I saw snakes and maggots and things like that. But just to give you two verses, in the Bible, Revelation 16:13 mentions unclean spirits that appeared as frogs. So there's the reptilish appearance, so forth, that I saw. Revelation 9:2 mentions a very bizarre creature coming out of hell that John describes. He said, quote, they were like locusts, shaped like horses, crowns like gold, faces of men, hair like women, teeth of lions, breastplates of iron, wings that sounded like many horses, tails like scorpions, and the sting in their tails, close quote.
Those are bizarre. You know, it says breastplates of iron. It makes me think, Bill, you did see a demon. One of them had like metal on its body.
That's right. I did. I couldn't describe. I didn't understand it, but this is one verse that indicates that. You know, and one quick story. And again, the scripture is the most important to believe, but just to share an experience, this is when, before we were married, in the home I was living in, I was out front during the daytime talking to a friend, and I looked back on the roof, and there was a big cat-like creature, but the size of a mountain lion, a big cat, but it was black and see-through. I could see through it, but yet it was black, and it was just crawling on the roof like he was trying to enter into the home. And the friend saw it also, and we looked at it for over 2 minutes, and then it vanished. So I knew it was a demonic creature trying to enter into my home. I saw it with my own eyes.
Yes, that's interesting, too, how the Lord allowed you and both your friend to
right.
see into the spirit realm.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting. A Barna poll in March 2009 showed that only 27% of Americans are convinced that Satan is a real force. Only 27%. and only 40% of born-again adults adopt that same perspective. In other words, 60% of the church does not believe Satan is a real threat or a substantial enemy. How foolish is that? It's all through the Bible, but even in the military, they have to identify the enemy in order to defeat them. And so we should be aware of our enemy. We do have an enemy, but we have given authority. We've been given authority over the demonic realm.
Yes, absolutely. In the name of Jesus.
That's right.
You know, that is one of Satan's greatest weapons or his greatest deceptions is that he doesn't exist.
Right. In Revelation 12:9, it says he deceives the whole world. That's one of his deceptions. He doesn't want people to know that he exists.
That he's even real.
That's
exactly.
Right.
You know, let's look at, Bill, some of the biblical examples of demonic activity. Mm-hmm. First of all, in Mark 9:18, Jesus cast out a deaf and dumb spirit from a boy. And the father of the boy said to Jesus, "The demon, wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid." And of course, Jesus cast it out. But
right.
It's interesting, you can see the physical manifestation of the devil, you know, working in that boy's body.
Right, and he always wants to destroy. The demon wants to destroy. At the other chapter, it shows that he often threw him into the fire. So he's trying to destroy the human body.
Very good point. So just like what Jesus said in John 10:10,
right.
Anything that comes to kill, steal, and destroy,
right.
That's from the devil.
Right. He said, "He has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." So the destruction, the evil, the wickedness, sickness, and all those things come from the demonic realm.
Yes.
Not from God.
Absolutely. And in Luke 11:24, Jesus said, "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finding none. He says, 'I will return unto my house from which I came.' And when he comes, he finds it swept." He finds it swept and put in order. "Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first."
Boy, that reveals a lot. In other words, when a demon is cast out, he seeks rest, but he doesn't find any. He needs to enter into another person. Then he finds rest. But this time he comes back, if it's swept and garnished, in other words, the person did not get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, he can come back with seven other demons worse than himself, and the last state is worse than the first of the man.
Yes, you wonder if the devil is angry because he was kicked out,
right?
And now he's bringing back friends to inflict more harm on the person.
That's what it sounds like.
You know, and it is interesting. It's swept and put in order, but it was empty.
Right.
Right?
So you
have to
get filled with the Spirit.
And the Word of God and renew your mind so you can keep them out of your life.
Exactly.
So.
Mark 5:2-4, Jesus cast out many devils in the man that was running through the tombs. It said he lived in a cemetery. He had an unclean spirit and no man could bind him even with chains. He would break the chains into pieces. He had great strength. He cried out as he was tormented, and he cut himself with stones. And then Jesus said, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." Then the devils begged Jesus to send them into the swine, and Jesus actually gave them permission. The unclean spirits went out and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were all drowned, about 2,000 of them. So, a legion was what he had. That they say that's about 2,000 demons. So this man was actually possessed with about 2,000 demons.
Wow. And he was really tormented. I mean, he cut himself with stones. So if, you know, somebody who's cutting themselves, that can be a clue. There's a demon involved.
Right.
You know, and it's also interesting that the swine would rather die than be possessed with the devils.
That's right.
You know, they were that agitated or tormented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think in addition, Bill, that's why sometimes mental illness is not always a chemical imbalance.
Right.
You know, many times demons can be involved.
That's right.
You know, there's another example too in Luke 22:31, where Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat."
That doesn't sound good.
No. And then, of course, Jesus said, "But I have prayed for you that your faith fails not." So you can see there, Jesus is, again, acknowledging Satan is at work. He wants to harm, and he's trying to steal faith out of our heart to believe in God, to follow God, and to believe his word.
Right. So we got to have faith in our lives in order to resist the devil and keep him out of our life. In Luke 10:17, the 70 were sent, and they came back saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. So there are 70. So it's not just the disciples that have authority over the demonic. It's all Christians.
Absolutely.
So that made that clear. And also, Jesus said in Mark 16:17, before he was getting ready to leave the earth, he said, he told us first to cast out devils.
Yes. And, you know, this really should be happening in and out of our churches.
That's right.
But in the Western church, you don't see a lot of it. It's not taught.
That's right.
In the pulpits.
And we also see more in the New Testament. We see James, Peter, John, and Paul all believed in the demonic. Acts 13:10, 1 Peter 5:8, 1 John 3:8. And I just want to read that one. It says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And of course, John was one of the most trusted apostles. And again, James also, James 4:7, believed in the demonic. And he was the brother of Jesus. So we see this in the New Testament very clearly. 1 Samuel 18:11, King Saul was troubled by an evil spirit. And it actually caused him to have a desire to kill David. So there again.
Yes. And then in Daniel 10, a high-ranking demonic spirit hindered the angel for 21 days from answering Daniel's prayer. So this biblical example shows us there can be evil spirits at work resisting the angels from bringing us answers from heaven.
Boy, that is really revealing. Here Daniel's praying 21 days. An angel gets dispersed from the first day to give him the answer, but he gets kidnapped by a demonic spirit. And then God has to send Michael the archangel to release the angel to get the answer to Daniel.
Yes, and it's such an encouragement for us to pray and fast at times, you know,
that's right.
We can really hear clearly instructions from the Holy Spirit in different situations.
What if Daniel would have quit it on the 20th day?
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting. In 21 days. You know, in Job 1:12, Satan himself came before the Lord. And it says, and the Lord said to Satan. So God addressed Satan. Then it says, Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job. And we know Satan destroyed Job's household and his family and killed them and so forth. So we see again, the destruction comes from the demonic realm.
Yes, good point. Right. You know, and another point, Bill, in the scripture, in 2 Corinthians 11:14, this scripture makes about the devil is that Satan can appear as an angel of light. So it's interesting that is how many false religions started.
That's right.
Their founder claimed to receive revelation from an angel or a being of light.
That's right. Even people that have been on their deathbed, sometimes we've read many cases where the people that were not Christians, they saw light. And so they were deceived, thinking they're in a good spot, they're going to heaven, yet they were seeing possibly an angel of light,
a demon of light,
which is a demon.
Yes, that's true.
And that's, again, deception. That's what demons do. Now, so we can see that demons can torment, cause deafness, blindness, dumbness, cause many sicknesses, epilepsy, insanity. They are unclean, foul, evil, wicked. They steal the word out of the heart. They can enter into a heart, possess a soul, cause great strength in a person, or give wealth to a wicked person, possess an animal, inhabit a region, enter a crowd, deceive, and they kill, steal, and destroy. That's their activities.
That's a great summary.
Right.
You know, Bill, so how do we keep demons out of our lives? I just want to list, these are at least just 10 things we can do. I'm sure there's many more in the scripture.
Right.
But number one, meditate in God's word. So we need to read, speak, and pray his word daily over our lives and our families. Joshua 1:8. Number two, we want to submit to God and resist the devil, like James 4:7 and 1 Peter 5:8 tell us.
Right.
Number three, we want to forgive so Satan doesn't get an advantage. 2 Corinthians 2:11.
That's right.
Number four, we want to repent of our sins. 1 John 1:9. Number five, we don't want to entertain the lusts of the flesh. Number six, we don't want to associate with evil people or just ungodly people who will pull us away from the Lord.
Right.
And number seven, we want to guard our heart, our ears, and our eyes from evil.
That's right.
Like Proverbs 4:20 through 23 says. Number eight, we want to guard our tongue from speaking things that are evil and also contrary to the word of God. God considers that evil.
Right.
Number 9, we want to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 and 5:17. And number 10, we want to exercise our authority in Christ when we need to, as Luke 10:19 and Matthew 28:18 and 19 instruct us.
Boy, that's so good. Each one of these points are so good. We could go into that in detail. But, you know, the main, one of those main ones is forgiveness. You know, so Satan doesn't get an advantage. That's so important, and so many harbor things against others.
Yes, good point.
It opens the door to the demonic.
So inner attitudes are really important.
They really are. And here's some things that give the devil access or an open door. You know, Ecclesiastes 10:8 says, whoever breaks a hedge, a serpent will bite. We have a hedge about us, as Job 1:10 states, but we can break our own hedge by doing things that the Bible forbids. And such things such as occult practices, which would be palm reading, Ouija boards, reading occultic books, bringing occultic objects into our home, we're forbidden to do that. Sinful movies, demonic video games, playing those types of things. And a tongue that speaks gossip, lies, deceit, strife, and division. We have to guard our tongues. Many scriptures on that. And then just disobedience to God's word. It's so important just to be obedient. Jesus said, my mother and brethren are those that hear the word of God and do it.
Yeah, so disobedience opens the door to the devil.
Right.
You know, also when you mentioned unforgiveness, I thought of envy, also jealousy,
right,
hatred, anger, all those things open the door to the devil in our lives.
Right, so our attitude.
We have to deal with those things that we are either wounded from or that's a root of bitterness in our lives. And seek God for healing and forgive.
That's right.
You know, so I love the verse in Proverbs 4:23. I think this is so important. It tells us to guard our heart above all else, for it determines the course of our lives.
Boy, how important is that? Above all else, guard our heart.
Yes, and one of the biggest ways we do guard our heart is to walk in love. And that's all through the scriptures.
Right. Loving God and loving your neighbor. Treating your neighbor as you would want to be treated. You know, so walking in love seals up that door. But three other things we can pay attention to. If we can be quick to forgive, quick to repent, and quick to obey, if we can practice these three things throughout our lives, we will do well with God. Now, we look forward to being with you next time. God bless.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.